Good morning, everyone. You know why it's called Faith Day, right? Because we're going to have faith that they're going to win. O ye of little faith. Requires much faith. Okay, so we are in 2 Timothy. Somebody took away my Bible and got me off my spot. I wonder who that was. Probably Dennis. You moved it. All right, guys. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So just kind of by way of review here, because it's been a few weeks. Remember, Timothy, the first chapter is all about guarding. Guarding these things that are very, very important. Guarding our calling, guarding the gospel, guarding our faith, guarding the special gift that is the Holy Spirit and what we have been called to do. Very important. As Paul ends the first chapter, he's going to talk about two groups of people. One group, containing two people who abandoned Paul when it got tough. They ran away. They were scared. We don't really know why, what their reasoning was. Maybe it was because Paul now in 2 Timothy is in the inner prisons awaiting execution. And so people are like, hey, you know what? This Jesus stuff is great, but if it's going to cost me my life, I'm not so sure about that. That's a big question that you might have, right? We talk about, hey, I can do this, I'll do this, I'll do that, I believe in God, but then when it really comes down to it, it's like, oh, I don't know. One perfect example is, you know, in the Army, in basic training, there's this final exercise there at the end where they shoot live rounds over your head, and there's tracers and stuff, and you can actually see them going. Right, that's why they use tracers. And there's all kinds of things going off, simulations, and you have to crawl underneath wire. And they tell you, if you stand up, be careful, you're going to get hit. I'm sure the bullets were much higher than that, but that's what they tell you, right? Because people are like, hey! Kind of like when we did that drill at church here, you know, it was like, hey! But, you know, it's different. People talk tough, and then all of a sudden the bullets start flying, and they're like, yeah, I don't know about this. And there were a lot of people that got petrified, literally petrified in fear because of that exercise. And so, you know, it could be that these two ran away because, hey, I don't want to be thrown in jail. I don't want to be executed. But a lot of times in our faith, it doesn't even go to that extreme. A lot of times in our faith, it's when our health goes down, or when we lose a job, or when we have financial difficulties, or when, you know, we start to face some kind of persecution for our beliefs. All of a sudden, we start going, I don't know if it's worth it. You know, I've actually had people tell us that, you know, as a Christian, you got so much going on in your life, I thought things were supposed to be perfect. I thought things were supposed to be good, rainbows and lollipops. And that's the danger of the prosperity gospel, and that's what they teach. You believe in God and everything's just going to open up. Every door is going to open up. Every time you get on an airplane, you're going to get bumped to first class. And, you know, I don't know about you, but our trip, we were at the back. Yeah. It was actually, you know, a long wait for us to wait for everybody. You know, you land and everybody buckles and stands up. I'm like, sit down. It's going to be like another half hour. We got to wait for everybody to go. But it's like, it's not true. And then what happens is if you believe in that, and then things don't start happening in your life, you're like, yeah, maybe this isn't real. And so maybe that's what happened here. And we have to guard against our faith. And then there was another person that Paul said, you know what? He stuck with me. He still came and he still visited. He brought stuff to me. He probably could have get associated with me. He might have been thrown in prison as well. But he still came through. And so with that context, we roll into chapter 2. Remember, when Paul wrote this, he didn't write it chapter and verse. It was a flowing letter. So there wouldn't have been a hard break there in his letter like we have in our Bible. We just put, not we, but they put chapters and verses in there so that we would have some kind of outline that we could find chapters and verses and kind of structure the Bible. But it wasn't originally written that way. So the flow continues. So we pick it up in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we talked about chapter 1 being the soldier, right? Standing strong, guarding against these things. Chapter 2, the theme is enduring. And so if you use my little memory peg, right, my little memory palace, we've got a soldier standing there in the front of the coat room. Someone said, is there a Coke room, like we can get Cokes? No, it's a coat room. Nobody hangs their coats there, but that's what it originally was for. And there's a guard there, and then there's a door that goes downstairs. And so on that door, instead of saying in, I-N, it says E-N, like the Spanish spelling of N, E-N. And it reminds us to endure, endure. And we're going to see that's the common theme of chapter 2. And so he's saying to Timothy right here out of the gate, as we talk about this theme of enduring, he says, hey, you have to endure. It starts off and it says, therefore. Well, what's the therefore? Okay, let's set the stage a little bit more. So Paul is in prison, going to be executed, close to death. He mentions those two people, Phileas and Hermogenes. These are the two men that turned away in verse 15. And then Onesimus is the one that stayed. He was faithful. So this is what he's talking about. And so he says, therefore, Timothy, because of these two, I need you to endure. Don't quit. When the going gets tough, you cannot quit. You can't walk away. And it's so easy for us to do that. In this culture, in today's kind of setting, we're creatures of comfort. We seek the comfort. And we don't want anything that's hard. Now, there was a time, a couple years back, where I told all the elders, hey, guess what? It's January 1st. And from here on out to Easter, I want you to take a cold shower every morning. Remember that, Jason? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know how many did it or how many just said they did it. But they're like, what? Now, it sounds simple, but have you ever done that? It's not that fun. It's a mental battle every time. You people say, oh, you get used to it. No, you don't. You get used to it after about, you know, a minute standing in the shower after your body goes numb. But it's like, okay, I don't know. Maybe I'll just go lukewarm. And that's cold enough. But that's a challenge, right? And we can go on with, you know, many different things. Yesterday in our men's group, we talked about leadership. Yesterday, we also talked about, we got into a conversation of hey, when do you confront somebody physically or not? And there's that hard, there's a hard distinction, that hard choice of, do I or don't I? And that's something you guys have to make on your own, right? And we want to go to that extreme, but we also have that battle every day spiritually. Do I want to stand up and be a soldier and fight the spiritual battle that is before me? The resistance of temptation, being conformed to the world. All these things that we battle with, the flesh wanting to be lords of our lives, especially after you have given your life to Jesus, because you know what happens is now the Spirit is king of the hill. Ever played King of the Hill as a kid? Yeah. Some people are like, no, that was too hard. Right? Somebody gets on top of the hill and it's like, okay, I want to be on top, and you got to throw that person down, and then you're king of the hill, and then they're trying to throw you down so that they can be king of the hill, and it's just a continual thing. Well, guess what? We have that battle every day. It's called the battle of the flesh being the king of the hill, or the battle of the spirit being the king of the hill. And so we have that same thing. We have that same battle. And a lot of times we're like, it's just too hard. But that's a lie from the enemy. That's a lie from your flesh. Because we'll see today that it's not by our strength, but it's by Christ's strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And in context of that particular verse in Philippians, he's talking about the things previous. I do this, I do that, I do that. Hey, but I do all this because of Christ who strengthens me. So we don't want to take that out of context, but the principle is the same. And we're going to see that here in a moment. But I can allow God to work in my life to do these battles for me. So he says here in verse 1, you therefore, my son, be strong. So remember, you therefore, what does that mean? Because of what we just talked about. The two groups of people, the one that left me and the one that stayed faithful. Goes on to chapter 2 and he says, you, Timothy, because of these guys' example, you be strong. And he also goes on to say, my son, this is important. This word strong is enduneomo. And it means to be strengthened. Now, sometimes we misunderstand when we read the Bible. We have this confusion with the translation from a very specific Greek language to a very vague English language. And so if I say to you, hey, be strong, what do you think? All right, I'm going to be tough. I'm going to turn that to cold and I'm going to do it. And for most of us, we fail. Why do we fail? Because we are weak. Our flesh is strong. Paul even references this battle. He says, hey, the things I want to do, I can't seem to find the way to do them. Can you relate with Paul? But the things I don't want to do, I'm doing it all the time. Yeah? I think, you know, we could all say amen to that. And so even Paul, who is the writer to Timothy, or two-thirds of the New Testament, is saying, hey, I have this same battle. So here it is. We don't want to think, as in the English translation, of be strong. Just muscle up. Get through it. Be tough. No, you see, the Greek is actually a different tone. It's a passive action. And that means be strengthened. Be strengthened. That puts a whole different spin on it, doesn't it? Timothy, be strengthened. So Timothy is like, okay, I can't stand strong because I'm not strong. So Paul says, be strengthened. So it's not yourself. It's not your strength. But the idea here is this strength comes from God. Because we are strengthened through God. Therefore, my son, be strengthened now in what? Grace. In grace. Charis. We get our word charity from it. Charis. And it means favor and power that is undeserved. And so this right here, we could do the whole section on these, you know, few words. Spend so much time in this because a lot of times we're like, hey, I really try hard in my faith. I really try hard to read my Bible. I really try hard to pray. I really try hard to come to church and to be with the saints. I really try hard to do these things, but man, I fail. Things happen. I get distracted. Squirrel! It happens, right? I mean, after all, we've got to live. We've got to survive. And we start justifying it. And what happens is when we start to look at that, we now become discouraged because we're now like Paul. Things I want to do, I can't do. The things I don't want to do, man, that's what I want to read my Bible, but instead, no, I'm watching the Wheel of Fortune. Then I'm watching this. Oh, and now I got this to do. Now I got that to do. I should be praying. I should talk, reach out to call somebody. Oh, no, got distracted. But life got in the way. So what am I going to do? Muscle through it. That will only last for a certain time. However, if you're being strengthened, meaning the strength of the power is coming from an outside source being put into you, being given to you, it's not your strength. So now it's not you failing, it's you now being empowered. Wow. That's a really great perspective. And I'm empowered because of God's grace. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I wasn't a good boy, and God said, here's a little extra strength today. No, God says, man, you're falling really short, so here's a little bit of strength today, because you don't deserve it. And this all comes through Christ Jesus, which is so important. Now, I want you to write these things down. I'm going to give you 7 ways to be strengthened by the Lord. And if you did the Revelation study with me, we know that the number 7 is important. Just kidding. I don't want to get all doctrinal on my coincidental number of 7. Write this down, because you might be thinking, this all sounds great, but how? But how? How do I do this? So here's the first thing. Number 1, here is how you strengthen yourself in the Lord. First, John chapter 15, abide. John chapter 15, it's all about Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. So if you know anything about agriculture or trees or anything like this, right, we can look at that tree in the back, right, all of the branches come off of the basic plant, okay? In this case, a tree is the root, or the, what am I trying to say, Pam? Trunk, thank you. It's the trunk, and off of that, the branches come. Now, if I take the branch and snap it off of the trunk, what happens? It dies. Why? Because it's disconnected from the source, yeah? You see, it's the trunk that through the roots goes out, sucks up the nutrients, sucks up the moisture, brings it up, and then supplies it to the branches. And so if we take that off, there is no more nutrients, there's no more water, there's no more source of life. So that's the same for us, right? If we're not abiding, and that word abiding means to live, to be at home, I am to be with God, because He is the trunk and I am the branch. In John chapter 15, He specifically says the vine and the branch. Think of a grapevine. Okay, same idea, just a different plant. So we have to abide with Him. Now here's the great news, and this is why Revelation is such a great book, because in the end, when the New Jerusalem, we are going to forever abide with Him. That's pretty cool. But right now, we do it spiritually. Where is God right now? Well, we've got the three, the Godhead, right? We've got Jesus, which is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We got God the Father, which is in heaven. But where's this Holy Spirit, which is part of the Trinity? The three, by the way, are one. Where's the Holy Spirit? Abiding with you. Yeah. And so we have to abide with Christ. So track that down, research what that means. How do I live with God? It's just being with Him all the time. Understanding who He is, understanding what He does, and utilizing that resource. Number two, when you pray, ask for strength. Lord, give me strength. Give me the power to overcome this. Give me the power, the boldness to do this. Lord, I need your strength. It's like the centurion. Lord, I believe, but help me believe. Maybe that's your prayer. Number three, I want you to renew your mind in the Spirit. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed by the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So we program our minds with the Word of God, and the programming of our minds then therefore sets the tone of how we live and think. Okay, so we get into the Word of God. This is where it's important, and I'm a big advocate for Bible memory, because you don't always have the Bible with you. Don't always have it, right? And that's why I'm kind of trying to introduce what I do personally to you guys with these silly little pictures, but I'm telling you, it works for me. It may not work for you, but it worked. Yesterday in the men's study, I said, hey, we're in 1 Timothy chapter 3. What's that about? And someone goes, qualification holders. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I can't believe I remembered that. It will work for you. It was actually chapter 4, but chapter 3 worked too, right? I mean, you sit there in your mind and you go, okay, I'm walking through the church and I watched everybody do that, and all of a sudden, bam, they're like, got it. And they're all excited because they remembered it. And this is good stuff, right? So memorizing this stuff so that we can transform or renew our mind, okay? Number 4 is to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6. And we do this in faith, by the way. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, belt of truth, all those items we go through, okay? And it's a good prayer. That's a good thing to memorize, right? Right? Figure out a little picture, dress whoever you want up on it, who's a really cool warrior that you want to put all this stuff on? I don't know. Got to do your own thing there. The next one is surround yourself with strong believers. This is why church is so important. This is why men's groups and Bible studies are so important, because we're surrounding ourselves with fellow believers. We're being equipped for the work of the ministry. We're being encouraged by other people. You can look over there and go, hey, Dave is struggling with this and he overcame that. And that's empowering to me because, hey, if Dave can do it, I can do it too. Right? If God works in Dave's life this way, he's going to work in my life that way too, because he's no respecter of persons, right? No partiality. And so we want to surround ourselves. Even if you're not there, you have maybe a smaller group within the church, a couple of guys maybe you talk to. It doesn't have to be everybody, but you call and you'd be like, hey, can we get on a group chat, or can we go on something and let's just kind of be with each other. Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm struggling with this. I have this issue today. Can you guys pray with me? Cool. And it doesn't have to be some big old long thing. It can just be a quick little thing. Sometimes with group chats, it gets very annoying. Ding, 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 ding. At the wrong time. Right? And if you're on a group chat, have some respect of time. It's really cool if you get that revelation at 3:00 in the morning. But let's wait to send that. At least wait till the rooster crows, Surround yourself. The next thing is worship. Worship. Worship even when it's hard. Remember in Acts when they're locked in prison and they started singing worship and all of a sudden all the doors opened? Right? You see, that's the point. The point of that kind of story there, and it's actually a historical fact because it's in Acts, right? And they're saying, hey, when you're in your prison, when you're in hard times, worship is what can set you free, right? Now, you might not physically be broken out of prison, but you definitely will be mentally and spiritually. So, have some of your favorite songs. Talk about memorization, right? We can memorize songs. I could probably sing you every 80s hair band metal song there is. Not the greatest words, but hey, they're stock. Can't help it. But get into some of the songs, right? The praise, the hymns, maybe some of the old ones. You just kind of pick a couple and you just kind of sing them to yourself, right? Throw on the radio. I got two places, one in my shop, and one down at the chicken coop, because I make the chickens and rabbits praise too. And it's tuned to the Christian radio station, and it just plays Christian music all the time. And I'm not even there. Right? So surround yourself with worship even when it's hard. And then the last one here is Isaiah 40:31, and it's to wait on the Lord. Don't expect, hey, Lord, boom, answer now. Sometimes he does that, but sometimes we have to wait in his time. Did you know God does answer your prayer? He does. Now, we always say, if it's not a yes, then it's not an answer. Yeah, no is an answer. Some people are like, oh, I've been praying about this, but God hasn't answered. And I says, like, sounds like he did. He said, no. No, I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to go talk to Dave because you don't know what you're talking about. Right? Sometimes he says, wait. 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 As you go through the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, I mean, when you talk about Moses and you talk about Noah and you talk about Abraham, you know, these guys all got a call. And it happened overnight, right? I mean, we're talking 120 years for Noah. Hey, Noah, I'm going to flood the earth, build a boat. 120 years later, most of us would have probably gave up after 120 days. Some of us 120 minutes. Maybe I wasn't hearing correctly. What about with Abraham and Moses? Moses was 40 years, desert, walking around going, Lord, I don't know, maybe you done forgot about me. So maybe the answer is wait. But he does always answer your prayer. So we want to wait on the Lord. So just real quick, a quick little recap. Number one, the first way is how to be strengthened in the Lord is to abide in Christ. Number two, ask for strength in prayer. Number three, renew your mind in Scripture. Number four, put on the armor of God. Surround yourself, number five, with strong believers. Six, worship even when it's hard. And seven, wait on the Lord. He is not slack for those concerning his promises. Okay? Very, very important. All right, we continue on here in verse 2, and he says, and the things that you have heard from among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. Okay, so now he's kind of calling the unfaithful men. He's saying, these things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, commit. Commit. This means like depositing a treasure. So I've got a treasure, and I'm going to put it into some kind of safe or some kind of make a deposit so that it is, I trust that nobody's going to take it. Right? Feel pretty safe when you lock something up, hopefully. You know, I could say you could feel safe about putting it in the bank, but I don't think I can use that analogy anymore. But think about when you're a kid, right? And you put that coin in the piggy bank there. You're like, I'm keeping it safe. It's in my special place. And so that's what he's saying. So this word commit is like that. It says depositing treasure into a safe. Because you know what? The gospel is a treasure. It is the most valuable thing in all of creation. Do you understand that? Because it is what makes you spend eternity with God. And the gospel is the simplicity of Jesus died for your sins. The most valuable thing in the world comes at zero cost. That's crazy to think about. That's crazy. And then he goes on, he says, to faithful men. This word is pistos. It means to be fully convinced, reliable, dependable, not flaky, not questionable, not impulsive. You know, and that's really hard for us to find these days. Are there people in your life that, you know, are trustworthy? That no matter what, if you ask them to be there, they'll be there. That no matter what, if they say they're coming, they're coming. There's no doubt in your mind. That's pretty hard to find, isn't it? Really, we might have a list and it goes, man. Because Paul experienced that. He had men that probably told him, hey, we'll be with you till you die, Paul. Jesus also had some men that said that. Right? Out of the 12, who remained at the cross? One. Peter denied him. Paul had two friends deny him. They were unfaithful. Paul couldn't count on them. Now, I want you to think for just a second of what that tells the world. If I say, hey, have faith in a God who I have faith in, but yet I don't demonstrate that I'm a faithful person, I'm telling people to believe in something that I don't even demonstrate in my own life, whom I'm supposed to be Christ-like. So here's what you do. You let your yes be yes, and you let your no be no. So if you find yourself falling short on your commitments, maybe you need to start throwing out some more no's. Somebody asked you to do something. No. And then they've got great sales training, so they continue to ask you in a different way. They're going to get that yes out of you, just, you know. And you just say, hey, I'd really like to, but I'm just not available. I'm not able to make that commitment for you. You know, but then if you do say yes, hey, I'll be there. I'll do this for you. Do it. Here, I'll give you one quick tip how I'll set you guys all up for success in this area. When you're talking amongst one another and somebody shares a situation in their life and you say, hey, I'll pray for you. I'll tell you what, stop saying that and just start doing it. Hey, you got something going on? Hey, let's pray. And now you're off the hook. Now you don't go about the door and then get distracted and be all over and then see him next Sunday and go, oh. Or what's worse, they come up to you and they're like, man, thanks for praying for me. That really worked. And you're like, yeah. Praise God. Now you just bared false witness. So let's just do away with all that and just say, hey, let me pray for you real quick. Let's just get it over with and do it now, right? It's a great little tip for you. I mean, or you could be bold and say, no, I'm not going to pray for you. Don't repeat the pattern of people who walk away, because it's easy to do so. And by the way, we've got many examples of that in our life, don't we? Politicians are the worst. It doesn't even matter. We have religious leaders that are the worst. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. All right, moving on. Look for faithful people in your life. Don't look for gifted people. Look for faithful people. Now, this is something that I have shown and demonstrated to you guys. Sometimes when we ask people to get into a certain leadership position, usually that person says, well, I'm not gifted. And I say, yeah, I don't care. And you might look at a person and go, well, that person's not gifted to speak, or that person's not gifted to do this. And it's like, yeah, I don't care. Do you know why I don't care? Because I'm not looking at their gift. I'm looking at their faithfulness. Look for the faithfulness in people, not the gift. Because the gift can be counterfeited. Look for people who endure. That when things get tough, they don't be like, I'm out of here. When things get tough, they're like, all right, let's go. The difficult I do immediately. The impossible takes a little longer. Miracles by appointment only. That was the saying of my basic training platoon. It went on to say duty, honey, country, but I just dropped that part because it's, you know, for the church now. Live your life like that. Get up in the morning and say, difficult, immediately. Cold, We'll see how that goes. I'll ask you next week. But man, if something is difficult, get right after it. Get her done. Something seems impossible. Okay, yeah, this might take a little bit longer. Miracle, I need God's intervention. Right? Those are the people that endure. And if you look at the stories of the Old Testament, whether it be the children of Israel leaving Egypt, being in front of a sea, mountains on either side, a large army coming down, it doesn't matter. We got many examples of that. 12 in a boat, on a storm, on the Sea of Galilee. God taking them right up to the last moment going, are you going to endure? Are you going to endure? In fact, what did he say to the disciples in the boat? He says, where's your faith? I mean, could you imagine living with Jesus for 3 years, seeing the miracles, seeing him like multiply fish and bread, seeing him open the eyes of the blind, open the ears of the deaf, loose demons from people's lives, seeing miracle after miracle after miracle, and you're in a boat with Jesus going, we're going to die. It's getting a little rough. And Jesus is like, man, what are you doing? Now, we get hard on the disciples, don't we? Because you and I are like, shh, we'd been rock solid in that boat. We do it too, guys. But I haven't seen miracles of God. Oh. If you're saved, you witnessed a resurrection from the dead with your own life. Yeah? I challenge you, look back on your life. See if you can see the fingerprints of God on your life. I bet you can. I mean, Romans 1:20 says that you can see it in creation. You can see it in creation. But look for the faithful. Multiplying requires faithful, reliable messengers who are authentic Christians that live the life, not just tell the story. Stop telling the story, church. Start living the story. Verse 3. You therefore must endure. The first reference to endure. In this chapter, you therefore, Timothy, because of what I just said, put it all together. We've got examples of good and bad. We've got here's how you be strengthened in the Lord. You need to be faithful, Timothy. Therefore, all of these things that I have just said, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Wow, this is going to paint a different picture. Remember, I've said it so many times, the Christian life isn't a playground, it is a battlefield. That's why you're told to arm yourself with spiritual armor, Ephesians 6. This is why you're supposed to do this. This is why in chapter 1 you're to guard against this stuff. It's a very militaristic tone because the battle is real. The battle's real. And when you sit there and go, why is it so hard? Because you're in battle, you're in a war. And therefore, as a soldier, what do? You endure hardships to suffer evil. If you look, break down this word, endure hardship, it actually, the first preface there is kekeo, which actually means evil. Evil. Suffer evil. Be patient and endure through evil. It is spiritual. Spiritual, spiritual, spiritual. I asked the question to the leadership yesterday, the men's group, and we're talking on the theme of leadership. I said, I want you to think about something because there's a lot of churches out there that hire off-duty police officers to come and protect the church. Just track with me for a second. If somebody's attacking a church, what's their motivation? Are they believers? Why would a believer come attack another believer? Great question, by the way. Stop doing that. Just kidding. No, they're sons of Satan, yeah? And we hire a non-believing off-duty police officer to protect us. spiritually, where is that person? Son of Satan, yeah? Do you think that person's going to lay their life down for you? Maybe, maybe not. That's why we don't hire non-believers to protect us. We have believers, sons of God, protecting us. Right? Because we're fighting a spiritual battle, folks. And the people that are assigned to protect you, there's four of them, strategically placed around the sanctuary, are soldiers of God. They're children of God, ready to do battle against the sons of Satan. Interesting perspective, isn't it? But everything is spiritual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities of the air, spiritual high places. That's what we do. So this enduring is against that evil. When you're suffering, it's a spiritual battle. When you're being oppressed, it's a spiritual battle. When you're being persecuted, it's a spiritual battle. And you are to endure that evil. Hard. So now, let's go back to our door back there. It has the word in on it. But I've got to push with everything I got to get in that door. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of training. It takes a lot of patience to get that door open. See yourself doing that. Push. Strong. And you can't do it. But then the hand of God comes behind you, places his hand on the back and goes, I just gave you the entire chapter 2 right there. Strength of a soldier, training of an athlete, patience of a farmer. And he's going to get into that in the next few verses as we continue on next week. Enduring is mentioned 3 other times in this chapter. So that's why we call it the theme. Endure the hardship of the soldier, the athlete, and the farmer. These metaphors tell us focus, discipline, and perseverance is required. Focus, discipline, and perseverance is required. That's what Paul is telling us to do. We have to do it. Verse 3, endure. Verse 10, endure. Verse 12, endure. Think about this, and endure. A soldier endures in battle even when it gets scary or painful. Probably not too many people in this room have been into war, but it's pretty horrific. And they stay the fight. They keep going. What does an athlete do? An athlete spends hours of training, even when they're sore, even when they're tired, even when they don't feel like it. They got to train. You got to train when you don't feel like it, when you're tired, when you're sore. We're talking about training spiritually. You have to endure like the soldier when it gets hard, painful, hurts. And then the farmer keeps working on his field when he doesn't see any results. Who had gardens this year? A lot of people. You know, it's crazy because I had all these like plants, everything, and I'm like, nothing's going to grow. Nothing's going to grow. And then I go down there one day and it's like, where'd all this stuff come from? But it seemed like it took like 3 months to get there. And now all of a sudden I'm like, what am I going to do with all this? What's the idea, right? Sometimes as Christian we're like, when's the strength going to come? When am I going to see the results? When's the harvest? Where's the fruit? Where's the? And then one day you're going to wake up and you're going to go, bam, there it is. That's why I challenged you to look at the fingerprints of God throughout your life. endure. So we're going to end with coming back to Phileas and the problem with his walking away. Because one thing I want you to make sure you understand, Paul didn't say they walked away from their faith. He didn't make that assumption at all. Okay, so we don't know if they walked away from Jesus or if they just walked away because it was getting hard. And so we got to be careful that we don't inject that this person wasn't saved. Maybe he wasn't saved. Maybe he was just a weaker Christian. And that's something that's very possible. And we got to be careful that we don't become judgmental of somebody because, you know, Dave is not enduring. So, hey, Dave, you know what? You ran away when I got tough. You must not be a believer. And he's like, no, I do believe. I just got scared because I guarantee you all of us at some point have done that and continue to do that to some degree. So we don't want to assume that they're not believers anymore. They were just weaker. So what I want to talk about with here is how to restore such a person. How do you talk with such a person? Because we may be that person today and or we may know somebody that person. Okay? First of all, we want to, and again, if you want to write these down, maybe you want to reach out and talk to them, okay? Start by praying for them first. Get that spiritual discernment. Ask for the Lord's wisdom in how to handle that, okay? James 5, 19 through 20. We want to make sure we pray for them. Then we reach out with humility, not with judgment, with humility. Galatians 6, 13. Speak to them in truth and love. You know, Hey, I noticed you're struggling here a little bit. Is there anything I can do for you? Do you need some help here? What's going on? Don't be so quick to judge them. Don't call them, you know, a coward or anything like that, but say, remind them of the gospel. Call them to repent of that. Offer God's grace, 2 Timothy 2. Offer God's grace. Because remember, what did he say? Be strengthened, don't be strong. See, we have a tendency to go say, Dave, why are you walking away from that? You need to be strong in the Lord. Instead, we should say, hey, Dave, why are you walking away from that? You should be strong in Jesus. Let me help you with that, and then you can help him with those seven things. Offer grace, don't show shame. Think of Peter's restoration, John chapter 21. Think of Peter. And how Jesus, when he came off the cross, he says, where's Peter? Where'd he didn't? He denied me. Where's he at? I seek him out. So even though we may cower away, walk away from God, he's still seeking us out. And then we grow in faithfulness. So you challenge them to grow in faithfulness. We're seeing here today that we're required to be faithful. Not every quitter is lost forever. Please remember that. Not every quitter. Maybe they just need you, a faithful believer, to restore them. But in order to restore somebody, you got to be one. That's it. Are you relying on your own strength in whatever you're going through? Maybe it's even growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Are you relying in your own strength or are you relying in the Lord's strength? Are you being strengthened by grace? That when I say strengthened by grace, you should have a totally understanding of that now. Strengthened by his strength, which was freely undeserved given to me. Am I strengthened by that? Are you a person of faith? Are you a person of faith? Not only do you not waver in your belief that you're saved by God, but then when people ask you to do something, are you demonstrating God's faithfulness by being faithful yourself? Are you enduring like a soldier? Or are you shrinking back when it gets tough? Who around you needs restoration? Who do you know? Invest with something that's free but has eternal wealth. The gospel. So we saved communion today for the end, because as we come and partake, everything we talked about today is possible because of this. Jesus stepped out of eternity, put himself upon the cross through grace, and died for your sins. Whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but has everlasting life. When we partake of communion, we are publicly saying, I believe and I have received, and I'm demonstrating physically that God is in me. He's a part of me. That I believe that his body was broken for me, that the cup is the covenant between him and the Father, the new covenant which I am a partaker of. And I am doing that. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but this has been up here for years. The broken plate. And I don't know the Japanese art name, I used to. But they would take something that was broken and they would put gold-infused glue as they glued it back together. And the idea is, usually we're trying to hide the cracks. We're trying to hide the brokenness. In this Japanese art, they're saying there's beauty in brokenness. And so this is a physical picture of the beauty in the broken body of Christ. That's the value. See, the value is in the gold, not in the plate. The value is in the broken body of Jesus Christ. The value is in the blood of the new covenant. And so as we close today, please remember that. Go through those things that we talked about. Challenge yourself. Be honest with yourself. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this group of people who are faithful. Lord, I ask that you would fill them, overflowing with your Spirit at this very moment. Strengthen them in whatever area they need to be strengthened in. Help them, Lord, become faithful soldiers that endure through whatever. And we do so because you loved us and you endured the cross. Lord, make us a mighty body for you. Make us authentic, Lord. And we ask this in your name, giving you all the glory as we continue and receiving your communion. And as we come up individually and partake, we go back to our chairs and we pray these things to the Lord. Lord, I believe. Help me in this area. Help me here. Help me there. Forgive me here. And then we partake of the communion on our own as we have that one-on-one time with our Lord. Lord, minister us at this moment as we continue in praise and in worship at this very moment. As you feel led, come and partake.